following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. It's great to be here worshiping with you this morning. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. We are continuing today in our 10 Healthy Missional Markers series. And so we've dug in over the past 3 weeks into the first three markers, which were last week, intentional evangelism, the week before that, a life-transforming walk with Jesus, and then first, the centrality of the Word of God. And so if you missed any of those, I'd invite you or encourage you to go to our website. You can find them all there, or you can contact Mary in our church office, and she can get you a copy of it. The markers, they don't necessarily build on each other, but they are a collective group. They're part of a bigger picture, a picture of what a healthy missional church looks like. And so as we move towards greater vitality as a church family, each of these markers will continue to develop and grow and strengthen. And so I encourage you to listen to all of them and read the scripture that each are based on your own. Today, we're going to be opening up to the book of Hebrews. So we'll be in Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 8. So I would invite you to turn there now in your Bibles, Bible apps. If you don't have one, I'm going to say the Gord, probably, because he's sitting next to the basket of them, would be totally happy to bring you one if you want, either to keep or for today, because that's one of the values of our church, to give the Word of God to those that desire it. So as you're turning there to Hebrews, let me pray for us, and we can open the Word of God together. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gift of today, for the gift of fellowship, for the gift of community, and for the gift of your presence, Lord. We ask for your Holy Spirit to fill this place, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us and empower us to do your work, Lord. God, we ask that it is your words that we hear this morning, the words that you have especially for us. Help us to have open minds and open hearts to hear what it is you have to say to us. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 13, starting in verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say in confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." This morning, if you haven't already guessed or didn't already work your way down our bookmark to figure out where we are, we're talking about leadership. We're talking about a culture of godly leadership, which is quite an appropriate topic for today with our AGM coming up in just a few minutes after our service, where we'll hear from our leaders and where we'll vote in new leaders. We'll get back to this text in just a minute, but before we do, I want us to take a look at a video that I think teaches us some really great things about leadership, and it pairs really well with this Hebrews text, as we'll see.
If you've learned a lot about leadership and making a movement, then let's watch a movement happen start to finish in under 3 minutes and dissect some lessons. First, of course, a leader needs the guts to stand alone and look ridiculous. But what he's doing is so simple, it's almost instructional. This is key. You must be easy to follow. Now here comes the first follower with a crucial role. He publicly shows everyone else how to follow. Notice how the leader embraces him as an equal. So it's not about the leader anymore. It's about them, plural. Notice how he's calling to his friends to join in. See, it takes guts to be a first follower. You stand out and you brave ridicule yourself. Being a first follower is an underappreciated form of leadership. The first follower transforms a lone nut into a leader. If the leader is the flint, the first follower is the spark that really makes the fire. Now here's the second follower. This is a turning point. It's proof the first has done well. Now it's not a lone nut and it's not two nuts. Three is a crowd and a crowd is news. A movement must be public. Make sure outsiders see more than just the leader. Everyone needs to see the followers because new followers emulate followers, not the leader. Now here come two more people, then three more immediately. Now we've got momentum. This is the tipping point and now we have a movement. As more people jump in, it's no longer risky. If they were on the fence before, there's no reason not to join in now. They won't stand out, they won't be ridiculed, and they will be part of the in crowd if they hurry. And over the next minute, you'll see the rest who prefer to stay part of the crowd, because eventually they'd be ridiculed for not joining. And ladies and gentlemen, that is how a movement is made. So let's recap what we've learned. If you are a version of the shirtless dancing guy, all alone, remember the importance of nurturing your first few followers as equals, making everything clearly about the movement, not you. Be public, be easy to follow. But the biggest lesson here, did you catch it? Leadership is over-glorified. Yes, it started with the shirtless guy, and he'll get all the credit, but you saw what really happened. It was the first follower that transformed a lone nut into a leader. There's no movement without the first follower. See, we're told that we all need to be leaders, but that would be really ineffective. The best way to make a movement, if you really care, is to courageously follow and show others how to follow. When you find a lone nut doing something great, have the guts to be the first person to stand up and join in.
All right. You get it all? All in three minutes. I am not dancing, you're right. I'm not convinced of that. Allison has been bugging me since November to show that video at some point, and we're talking about leadership, and so what better opportunity to show that video? Yeah, I know. She should have just acted out the video for us, and I could have narrated. That's what we should have done. But, you know, there are some really profound things that we can learn from this dancing guy, this goofy guy dancing in the grass at what I assume is some sort of concert. I hope it's some sort of concert. Otherwise, it's that much more bizarre. And like I said, it really does relate to our text today in some really neat ways. It helps us, whether we're leaders or the first follower or one of that kind of group of next followers or ones that jump in at the end, helps us remember that everyone is a vital part of a movement. Yes, there's a leader. Yes, there's a first follower or a couple of first followers. But a movement doesn't happen without everyone engaging together. So, how does this relate to our text for today? Our text today gives us some really important things that leaders should be expected to do, right? It gives us some specific guidelines, some specific expectations, things that we as a community can and should expect of our leaders always. And really, as this text starts off, there's general guidelines for all of us. There are things that we should all be living into. And there are then expectations that we should hold for our leaders as well. But then it finishes off with some specific words about leaders. It says what it is we look at in leaders. And that's where I think the important pairing is. Things like teaching from the Bible, speaking the word of God, living a faithful life, living a life that exemplifies a faith in Jesus Christ. This text talks about followers following leaders. And leadership is one of those things that's often talked about and focused on. And great leadership is held up as like the best thing possible. There are books upon books upon books, and I have a bunch of shelves of them about leadership. Leadership styles and leadership methods, challenges, examples, training, etc., etc. Leadership of groups, leadership of individuals, leadership in the work setting, in the team setting, in the church setting, and on and on and on. We talk and we hear a lot about leadership. There are high expectations that are placed on our leaders. And then leaders also get a lot of glory when things go well, when a movement succeeds. It's the leader that gets the glory. And then the reverse is also true, that leaders then have to answer when things don't go well. Leadership is challenging and rewarding. It's draining and encouraging. It's exciting and it's mundane, often all at the same time. But the side of leadership that is minimized, but really ends up being just as important, is the followers, those who are following the leader. And that's one of the really great things that our Dancing Guy video points out to us. One of the really important points that we read here in this passage from Hebrews, that cultivating a culture of godly leadership cannot just be about having good, solid, godly leaders. We also need good, solid, godly followers. Leaders need people to follow, people with the courage to be, at times, that first follower, or the second, or the third. Our passage in Hebrews describes how it is that followers are to, and can, and should look at leaders, right? In verse 7, we read, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." A culture of godly leadership means a community where godly leaders are upheld and supported by godly followers. Leaders set the pace by living lives of faith and of ministry, and followers consider what it is those leaders are doing. They take heed of the words spoken, the presentation of the word of God, and the way that living faith is modeled for them. Today is the beginning of a new year in our church. Today is our AGM in just a few minutes. And we'll be discussing business, we'll be hearing reports, we'll be looking forward to exciting things going on that are on the horizon for this next year. And perhaps most importantly today, we'll be choosing our leaders for this coming year. Some new people will step into roles of leadership, and others will step into new roles of following. And so as we begin this new year, it's a great opportunity to take some time to think about, and to pray for both the leadership of the church and the followership of the church. And I think one of the really neat and unique things about our church is that so many people in so many different ways throughout the year have a chance to be both leader and follower. I think we all, to some degree, step into each of those roles throughout the year. We have leaders on our council. We have leaders in committees. We have leaders who are running a certain ministry or a certain outreach. We have leaders who are leading small groups of Bible study, of prayer. We have leaders who are leading worship. We have leaders in so many different ways, and each of those leaders then need followers to do it. And so we get this chance to live out both of these portions of this text from Hebrews. So as we step into this new season, I'd invite us all to find ways to model leadership when we're able to, and to model good followership in all other times. And yes, I am making up that word, followership, PowerPoint or keynote was sure to underline that every time I wrote it. So, but I think it's great. I'm going to use it. So then what might those things look like? What might followership look like? How can we all together cultivate this culture of godly leadership? First, we can and we must hold our leaders to the high standard that we have set in Hebrews. We expect them to teach and to speak from the Word of God and to live in such a way that their faith is exemplified in everything that they're doing. That, to me, is kind of the straightforward, almost common sense part of the culture of godly leadership, especially in the church setting, right? That's what is expected of our leaders. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's expected. The following, though, I think is the part that can be unexpected, but just as difficult. Because like we learned from our video, there is rarely, if ever, the glory that goes along with leading something great when it's the follower that we're looking to. But it still does take a ton of courage to be that first follower. Almost as much, you're out there on a limb, at least for a little bit, waiting for the third follower, the fourth follower, and then the group of 50 to hop in. But you know what? It means a ton to those leaders when those followers step up and they buy in. It energizes those leaders, it encourages those leaders, and it gives that push forward that at times is so necessary. Don't ever underestimate the impact that taking a courageous first step as a follower can make. It may just mean the world. It may be that one thing that that leader needs to keep going, for one follower to step up and to buy in and to take the courage to do that. We should ask our leaders to be creative and to follow after what they're discerning God speaking to them, God speaking to us as a church. In a book I've been reading lately, they talked about how easy it is, to some degree, to ask for discernment, to ask to hear from God, but how difficult it is then to actually do what you hear God saying. And that's the piece that, as we cultivate a culture of godly leadership, we should be holding each other in. Not just listening to God, but doing what God is saying. Asking our leaders what they're hearing from God and then encouraging them in that. And it also means being really intentional about supporting our leaders. Offering words of encouragement, a note, a phone call, a pat on the shoulder. And it means praying for our leaders. It means praying for them as individuals. It means praying for them as men and women of God, for their own relationships with God, for discernment, for wisdom, for courage, for protection from evil, praying for their families and friends, those who surround leaders, sometimes hear both the best and the worst of leadership. And it means praying for followers, followers who are supportive, and followers who are courageous. Be praying as often as you do pray for our church, for our leaders, as they listen and seek God's will for our congregation, and as they take the courage to step into what it is God has for us. It's an exciting road, it's a challenging road, a stressful road, and at times a really encouraging and exciting opportunity. But it's made all that much easier, all that much better, all that much deeper and fuller when there is a whole culture of godly leadership that's surrounding our leaders. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for Emmanuel Covenant Church. We pray for the leaders that you have blessed us with over the past year, leaders on council, leaders in classrooms, leaders in Bible studies and prayer, leaders in projects and in ministries, leaders in worship. God, we are so thankful for the gifts and the talents and the passions that you have gifted the people of Emmanuel with. We pray for this new year, for 2015, for the leaders that you will raise up. We pray for wisdom, for time to spend in relationship with you, growing in relationship with you, God. We pray for courage. We pray for protection from evil. We pray for discernment. And God, we also pray as followers. We pray for the ways that we have to follow this year. We pray that we can uphold our leaders, encourage them, and support them, and have the courage to follow even when it may be difficult, God. And we pray this all in the knowledge and the assurance of the last words of our reading from Hebrews today, that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we pray this all in his holy and precious name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.